Morning again. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. If you're able to this morning, stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to look at verses 6 through 9. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 6, says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this day and every Lord's day, and every day that you give us is a gift from you. And I pray, Father, again, we are good stewards with the time you allow us to have. I pray, Father, this morning we've come ready to receive from your word with gladness, that we're ready to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I pray, Father, that we again would be drawn closer to you, our faith would increase, and that you'd be lifted up and glorified. I pray, Father, this morning that you'd give me boldness, that you'd give me clarity of speech, that you would give me the very words to preach this morning. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish, and we'll not fail to give you all the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Men have always dreamed of living in a utopia society. For example, Plato envisioned a time of living when the crooked things in life would be made straight. Presidents have dreamed of living in a utopia society in programs like the New Deal, the New Frontier, the Great Society, and the New World Order. However, the utopia society is not going to be ushered in by men with their programs, plans, and policies. This utopia society will only be brought when Jesus comes to rule and reign upon this earth during the millennium. That's when it will be. Now, people talk about peace on earth. We're not going to have peace on earth till the Prince of Peace brings it. That's when we'll have peace on earth. People are wondering, why are all these things going on? What does the Bible tell us? There will be wars and rumors of wars. And we have them, and why are these happening? Because God said we would. God already knew. Today I want to show you some things about this period of time after the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord sets up his kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years, known as the millennium. The promise of the millennium. The promise of the millennium is based upon a covenant we find in the scriptures. There are two basic kinds of covenants. The first one is the conditional covenant. A conditional covenant is a promise of God, from God, that sets down specific conditions before the promise can be fulfilled. And we see that, for example, 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? We all know that verse. If my people, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, so if we do that, then God says he'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. That's a conditional covenant. We have to do our part. The if is there, as I've said many times before, in such a small word with such a big meaning. If didn't say when. Because we might not do the if. And if we don't do our part, then God doesn't have to do his part. It's a conditional covenant. Then we have an unconditional covenant. One was the promise God made to David when he was going to establish his kingdom through David's offspring that would never be overthrown. There are no conditions in that covenant. That is something that God tells us he is going to do with no conditions attached. God's going to take care of that. There are no conditions in the covenant because God said, I will set up thy seed after thee. He said, I will establish his kingdom. It has nothing to do with mankind. It's an unconditional covenant. God will take care of it. And this will be fulfilled when Jesus himself sits upon the throne during the millennial reign. The covenant is based on Jesus being of the lineage of David. And if you look at the generations in Matthew 1:1, he is of the lineage of David. In Luke also, it tells us in Luke chapter 1, he is of the lineage of David. There's no doubt about that. The scripture indicates that he, Jesus, who sits on the throne of David, will have David there with him also. Look at Jeremiah 30 and verse 9. Jeremiah 30, verse 9, says, But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now I do not know, nor does anyone else know, what part David is going to have during the millennial. But David is going to be raised up to rule under the King of Kings during the millennial. David most likely will play a major role in working with the King of Kings to see that his programs are accomplished during the millennial. He was once King of Israel. Now he's going to be allowed to sit next to the King of Kings. Then the period of the millennial. How long does it last? I like the fact that some people are so deceived that they say it's not real. The millennial reign is real. It will occur. Do you know that the word millennial is not in, or millennium is not in the Bible? It's not there. Because it's not in the Bible, some suggest that it will not exist. It will not happen. That it's not true, that we shouldn't teach it because it's not in there. But do you know the words Trinity and rapture are not in the Bible either? However, it's taught throughout the scripture. The word millennium consists of two Latin words, milli and annum. The word milli means 1,000 and the word annum means year. So you put them together and you've got 1,000 years. This is why I love it when people tell me that climate change is destroying the earth and it's all going to burn up and we only have a few years left. I said, well, according to the Bible, I know I have 7 years of the tribulation period. I know I have 1,000 years in the millennial reign. And I'm still here, so we have at least 1,007 plus. I'm guessing, especially at my age, I'm not going to need to worry about the earth being destroyed while I'm still alive in this body. So if we've got 1,007 years plus left before God destroys the earth, I don't think we need to worry about climate change. Don't need to be concerned about it at all. There's some different views as to when the rapture of the saints will occur and the millennial will begin. They have the post-millennial view. Some theologians believe that Jesus will come after the millennium is ended. They believe the world will keep getting better and better and better and better until Jesus comes and establishes his earthly kingdom. And what does the Bible tell us? Things will wax worse and worse. So, what perversion are they reading? They're not reading the Word of God. obviously. Then they have the amillennial view. A means no 1,000 years or no millennium. Some theologians advocate that the 1,000-year period is figurative and not literal. So they advocate there will never be a specific 1,000-year period. However, the book of Luke defeats this view because the verses are literal and not figurative that speak of the millennial in Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 32. I'm telling you, you can't take part of it literally and then take part of it and say it's not. And they want to get rid of it. Verse 31 of Luke, it tells us that Jesus was conceived and was brought into the world. And we know for a fact that he was. It's a historical event. Verse 32 says, he shall be great. And there's no doubt about it, Jesus is great. No doubt about it at all. And it says, and he should be called the Son of the Highest. And no doubt that he is the Son of the Highest. And then, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne, of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. If you're going to take the first part of those verses as literal, you have to take the rest of it as literal as well. Then the premillennial view. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus will rapture the church before the start of the millennial period. That's Bible. Look at Revelation 4:1. Revelation 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Excuse me. In Revelation 4:1, when the rapture of the church takes place, the church is no longer mentioned in the book of Revelation until Revelation 19. Of the second coming, when the church will return from heaven with him. So we're not mentioned again, so we must have been taken out. Pretty simple. Immediately following the rapture of the saints, the judgment seat of Christ occurs in heaven, where the believers give account how they live their lives as Christians, whether it be good or bad. Tell people, you know, I get that we're saved. I get that our sins are covered under the blood. We are going to give an account. So these people that say, I have a license to sin, have no idea what they're talking about. The Bible doesn't teach that, by the way. In fact, the Bible says, should we sin all the more? God forbid. The same time on earth, a 7-year period, the tribulation takes place, primarily to prepare the Jews to accept Jesus as their true Messiah when he returns to the earth with his saints. At the end of the tribulation period, the Lord will return to earth with the saints to destroy the Antichrist and to set up his reign upon the earth for 1,000 years. That's the right view. That's the correct Bible view. Then the purpose of the millennium. Why do we need it? Well, obviously there's a need because God wouldn't give it to us if we didn't need it. We need the millennium to show the depravity of mankind. Wicked men will be under the rule of the greatest king that has ever reigned on this earth. And when the devil is loosed from the bottomless pit, at the end of the millennium, wicked men will be deceived by Satan and will rise up in opposition to Christ. Do you know, I don't care how good we have it, we're still not going to be happy. Just not in us to be happy, apparently. Because that man will still not be happy, no matter how good he gets it. Then we need the millennium, because when Adam sinned, he plunged the human race under the curse of sin. But he also plunged all creation under the curse. When Adam sinned, you and I were there. All mankind was there in the loins of Adam. That's why all of mankind is born into sin. I have to tell you, we don't have to learn it. We just know it. It's just natural. It's amazing. You think, and we look at these babies, right? And they're so sweet and innocent, right? They learn at a very early age how to manipulate. I remember ours when they were little, and they'd scream and scream and scream and scream. You've eaten, you've been changed, what's the problem? You pick them up, and immediately they stop. They just want to be held. They just want to be comforted. That's all. Is that not manipulative? They're manipulating the parents into what they want. I want to be picked up. I don't have a problem. I just want to be held. You're not paying enough attention to me. I want you to be here, right? Those who are born during the tribulation period will be allowed to come from the tribulation period into the millennium period. That will show how sinful lost men are, because during this time the Lord will have to rule with a rod of iron. And two, we need the millennium also, because during the millennium the curse is going to be taken off creation. Can you imagine farmers being able to plant crops in soil that is not cursed? Wouldn't that be great? I don't know about you, but it'd be nice if not a weed ever popped up again in the beds around the church. I don't have any in my house because I don't like to weed them. But wouldn't that be nice? Farmers planting all these crops, and they're going to produce crops like this world has never seen before. Sorry for all those people who think they're getting rid of all the farmland and that we're not going to be able to have food that's needed in the world. It's going to be interesting. Look at Romans 8:22. It's another one that we should be fairly familiar with. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. When Paul speaks of creation groaning, wanting to be delivered from the curse of sin, what exactly is he talking about there? Well, the animal kingdom lives according to the fang and claw. It's operated by the survival of the fittest. What a day it's going to be when the millennium becomes reality. Things are going to be different. The animal kingdom is going to be transformed. It's interesting when people constantly are complaining about their animals have disappeared. They let them out at night to roam the streets. What comes out at night in our neighborhoods? I live out on Rathdrum Prairie. We have coyotes out there. I got news for you. If you let your animals run loose out there, there's a good chance they're not coming home. I'm not trying to be cruel or anything. It's just the way it's set up right now. But there's coming a day when that's not going to be a problem. As I read in our text, the animal kingdom is going to get along. You're not going to have the survival of the fittest, right? They're going to get along. Creation and mankind will both be different. And then there's two different kinds of people during the millennium. the raptured church. You find this in Revelation 20, where John says that God's people are going to reign over certain cities and places of the world. Talking about the raptured church. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Those that reign will include the Old Testament saints, all Christians that were raptured before the tribulation, all believers who were martyred in the tribulation period who did not bow and bend to the pressures of the Antichrist. We will have our glorified bodies. So who are they going to reign over? Those who are left on the earth after the rapture of the church. These will not have their glorified bodies. They will have gone through the tribulation and into the millennium. The extent of the kingdom is summed up when Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. The expansion of the millennial empire will materialize when Jesus sits on his throne. Everything will be different when Jesus comes back to rule and reign on this earth. Everything will be different. It's going to be different when Jesus comes back again. The first time he came, Jesus rode a donkey. The next time he's going to ride a white horse. The first time he stood before Pilate, this time Pilate will stand before him. The first time Jesus was rejected, this time every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The first time Jesus came, the ungodly spat upon him. The next time they will bow the knee. He's coming back with all power and will establish his millennial kingdom. He's going to establish it upon this earth. He will rule and reign as supreme Lord of all. And there's another reason we need the millennium. It's essential as an incentive for people not to take the mark of the beast. Remember the message of the 144,000 when we looked at Matthew 24:13, but he shall endure unto the end, but he that shall endure unto the end shall, the same shall be saved. But let me show you who will be here during the millennium. There's four personalities that will be here during the millennium. Satan will be here during the millennium for a short time, but then Satan is bound. There will be peace on earth. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? Satan bound and peace on earth. We think it'd be great to have peace on earth now. And it would be. And there's a lot of people who look for peace on the earth now. And they keep saying, man will bring peace. Man's not bringing peace. What does man do? Man brings division. If you don't believe that, why are churches splitting all the time? Even God's people can't get along. It's wrong. We are not going to have peace brought in by man. Peace will only come, as I said earlier, the Prince of Peace brings it. Until then, we won't have peace. People are all up in arms about the wars going on. The Bible said we would have them. God told us these things have to happen. Well, I don't like it. I didn't say we have to like it. We just have to accept that it's going to be part of life. It's going to be part of what happens until the Lord Jesus brings peace. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Isaiah 2, chapter 2, verse 2, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow in unto it, and many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." Praise the Lord. But notice what God does with Satan, the biggest troublemaker that ever has been. The Bible tells us before the millennial starts that Satan is going to be chained. Satan is going to be chained up for almost 1,000 years. And he is going to be out of the troublemaking business. What amazing time that would be. Look at Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. Revelation 20, starting in verse 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." A little season. Some think that Satan is in the bottomless pit now, but that is not true. That is not true. Presently, he's roaming the earth like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. See, we don't take that threat seriously enough sometimes. But Satan's looking whom he may devour, seeking for us. He's never yet been in the bottomless pit. But look at the words the Bible tells us. Jesus is going to lay hold on that rascal and cast him into the bottomless pit. The devil had better have all the fun he can have now, because one of these days the Lord's going to grab him and cast him into the bottomless pit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God did not say that Satan, see the pit over there, hop in. He didn't say that. No, he's going to lay hold on him, and he's going to cast him in. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to put him in that pit, and he's not coming out until God says he can. See, we give Satan way too much credit. Satan is under the authority of Almighty God. Then the Bible says, "He shall deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years be fulfilled." That's amazing. Amazing that he will not be able to deceive the nations anymore. See, there's too many world leaders out there that are being puppeted by Satan to do the things they're doing. They don't realize Satan's in control, but that's what's happening. Can you imagine what a great place this would be to live while Satan is chained in the bottomless pit? Don't have to deal with him. So that's what it's going to look like for Satan during this time, but what will it be like for the Savior during the millennium? He is going to rule the entire earth. The entire earth. In the Garden of Eden, God meant conditions to be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. That was the plan. But because of Satan and sin, all of that changed. And we have wars, we have divorces, we have lies, deception, hate, envy. We have wars and every kind of evil thing you can imagine, and some we cannot imagine. going on. When he comes back to set up his kingdom, he will fulfill his plans. There's nothing that's going to stop him. Look at Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Isaiah 4, 2, it says, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." Notice the phrase, "in that day." This phrase occurs in the book of prophecy. It refers to the time that begins with the tribulation period and goes into the millennium. He's going to be king of the whole earth. King of the whole earth. Isaiah 9:6, another one that we know quite well. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." During the millennium, there will be peace on earth. Peace on earth. But he will not only provide peace on earth, he will also provide comfort for everyone. While we're here today, the devil is doing everything he possibly can to make life as miserable as he can for everyone on earth. The people here on this earth that are so burdened down that they're contemplating suicide. I can't imagine things getting so bad, not wanting to go on. I can't imagine that. I've not been there in my life. But there are people at that point where there's just no hope. And they're contemplating ending it all. The millennium cannot be a place of peace on earth if people are burdened down with the cares of this life. How can you have peace if you're burdened with all the cares of this world? During the millennium, people are not going to have to turn to drugs and alcohol to cope with life. The Lord Himself will comfort them. I said He's going to bring peace on earth, and He's also going to be the comforter of all people. He's going to bring comfort to everyone. Look at Isaiah 12 and verse 1. Isaiah 12:1 says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." One of the reasons that our lives are filled with misery is because of the injustice that surrounds us. We see social justice. We see gender injustice. We see racial injustice. We see injustice everywhere. Everywhere you look. But let me just tell you, when the just judge brings judgment, there will be no injustice. Our lives are made miserable because of the injustice that we face each day. But one day, the King of Kings is going to see to it that injustice is done away with. Isaiah 9:7. Says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Then look at Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29:17 through 19. Is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The Lord is going to see to it that it's going to be a great place to live during the millennium. So what will it be like for the saints during the millennium? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When the saints are raptured, they will receive their glorious bodies. When we return with Christ, we will be in our glorified bodies. During the millennium, all those who are raptured will be here on earth in their glorified bodies. All those who came through the tribulation in their mortal bodies will still be in their mortal bodies that are controlled by the flesh. In our glorified bodies, we will reign with Christ. Now, David seems to have some special place under the Lord Jesus Christ, but we in our glorified bodies will rule and reign with him over those who come through the tribulation period and still in their fleshly bodies. We will assist him to make sure that there will be peace on earth. In Revelation chapter 2, 26 and 27, says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. God will use people who have glorified bodies to rule and reign with him during the millennium. Then the survivors of the tribulation period, they will continue to have children, and they are going to labor. Look at Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 23. It says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. So why does God want those who live in these mortal bodies to work? Did you know that the most of the trouble in this world comes from people who are not working and they have way too much time on their hands? I've said it'd be amazing if all these evildoers out there took their efforts in being evil and wicked and put them into something constructive, how much better this world would be. But instead, they've got too much time on their hands and they're trying to figure out all kinds of things. We're constantly getting, and it's interesting, I got two text messages this last week. One of them had to do with my credit union, where I bank, and the second one had something to do with the credit union from my bank. The first one was legit, and after I called them and found out it was legit, I took care of it. The second one came in, and I had to stop in at the credit union anyway, so I stopped in there and I said, is this one legit? And they said, absolutely not. I said, but see, we got them like within an hour or so apart. The first one being legit, the second one not being legit, But if you found out the first one was legit, would you click on the second one? Some people would have. I'm just very suspect about everything that comes electronically anymore. So I didn't click on it, and we deleted it. But isn't it interesting? People have too much time on their hands. People know way too much about what you're doing. They know too much about your life. And a lot of people find it through social media. It's amazing how much is out there. But they have too much time on their hands, and they're doing evil and wicked things. But those who go through the tribulation period will still be in their fleshly bodies, and God's going to see it that they have plenty to keep them from the evil. The Lord is going to use David and the Christians who have their glorified bodies to see to it that they are going to work. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36 and verse 29. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. When Lyndon Johnson was president, he made it very clear that he was going to do away with poverty. It's been a long time since Lyndon Johnson was president. But he said, I'm going to do away with poverty. Lyndon Johnson is dead, and we still have poverty. In fact, if he'd have read the Bible, Jesus had said, the poor you will have with you always. So all you had to do is read the Bible and know that you can't do away with poverty. Life here on earth during the millennium is going to be the greatest time to live on this earth, especially for those of us who will be living in our glorified bodies. Can you imagine being on the earth, not in these bodies that are old and decrepit for some of us, young and going to be decrepit one day for some of us. Folks, it's a fact of life. Our bodies are not made to last. And we're going downhill. But it'd be great to be back in a body that doesn't decay. In a body that doesn't have aches and pains. And during a time when the Prince of Peace brings peace to the earth. We have a lot to look forward to. We can glory in the fact that we have a lot to look forward to if we know Christ as Savior. There's someone who doesn't. I would suggest they get that settled. It won't be a good time for those who have rejected Christ. It'll be a great time for those who have accepted the free gift of eternal life. Let's pray.